So my name is Jean-Paul van der Linden. I'm a professor of environmental studies and ecological economics at Université de Versailles-Saint-Quentin in Yvelines. And I'm a member of a research center which is called Cultures, Environment, Arctic Representations, Climate. Okay, I'm going to try today to share with you results of an inquiry that is dealing with developing technological tools, but that are socialized in order to have safer coasts with climate change. So the basic idea of this talk, or what led to the results I'm going to show you, is that I've been involved in the last 4 years in a project which one of the major output was a decision support system. And this decision support system was geared at helping coastal communities choosing mitigation options for coastal risk, flooding, erosion, in the light of a changing climate, whatever this may mean. And in these 4 years as a social scientist, I became quickly frustrated because the engineers developing the system came to me with a very poor request, which was something like, we know that people don't understand, but we're going to develop a tool to explain them how the world works, and we would like you, through perception analysis, to help us deploy our tool in society. And of course, such a request is full of misplaced prejudice. And so during 4 years, it was some sort of long-term work to try to explain what are perceptions, what are representation, and how these concepts could be mobilized into technology in a way that is respectful of the user, to make a long story short. But this led not only, so it was a political process in a project, getting ideas to be accepted and used, but it's also a research project, and I'm going to talk about the research dimension now. And I'm going to move quite quickly because I'm not sure I will manage to do it in 30 minutes. So for the first part of this talk, I just want to do a brief introduction to set the stage. We're working on coastal communities, and we're considering that we're having a coastal system, and I'm going to tell you a bit more about what is believed to be a system. So we have a coastal system, and the climate is changing, and people are worried. And they are worried, and who is people? It's the European Commission, it's scientists, and it may be also coastal communities. They are worried, there are talks of sea level rise, there are talks of increased intensity of extreme events, storms, and there are talks of increased frequency of intensity of extremes. So not only will extremes grow in frequency, people say, but they will grow in intensity, and the sea level will rise. And so we need to find ways, we need to invest today in order to face this, to reduce flood risk, erosion risk, but also to think about shift in economic activity, because some fisheries may disappear or there may come, some harbor may not be usable, and new shipping route will be open. So coastal communities will face a tremendous amount of change. And if you combine all this plus the way the climate change discourse is deploying itself in society, this increases also uncertainty, which needs to be handled on its own. Now, I've misplaced my glasses today in the train, and I really need to read and be in the microphone. All this is very annoying. Now, finally, to set the stage, if I work on a coastal system or within a coastal system, I'm facing something that is quite typical of all human systems, but in coastal system, it's a bit more present, is that you have very high concentration of people in coastal communities and a very high diversity of activity. And combining many people and many different activity means that people will experience the system in a variety of fashion. They will have a different life experience interacting with the coastal system, which means that they may have very different understanding as how the coastal system works. But not only there will be this heuristic diversity, this diversity of experiencing the world and knowing what the world is about, there will also be a diversity of issue in material terms depending on the variety of material constraints they are facing. So if I want to work with such a population, not only they understand the world differently because of who they are, but also they have different constraints depending on their economic activities, their interests, etc. And finally, still because of this diversity in coastal system, you also have a huge diversity of the way they frame issues in normative terms. There are several values moving around and interacting. And so if I want to deploy a technology in such a system, well, I'm facing something quite, I would say, complex and multidimensional. Now, in those coastal communities that I very briefly presented, we implemented this project called Theseus. I don't remember what the acronym means. I think it's Safer European Coast for a Changing Climate or something like that. But the basic idea of Theseus is that the project will be Ariana's fill in order to guide communities in the meander and escape the Minotaur, who is the climate change. Now, I'm not sure this was a very well-inspired metaphor, but it's the one that was used for that project. And the idea of the project is to give to coastal community an integrated methodology to plan sustainable defense strategies for the management of coastal erosion and flooding in the light of changing climate. I think you may find Theseus in that phrase. Well, it's organized like any project is organized. And in order to do that, and this is the first critical point, they use a conceptual model in order to integrate disciplines, integrate stakeholders. And this conceptual model is called the source pathway receptor consequence model. And it's very difficult. I was a member of the project, but I was not an engineer and not an ecologist, and I felt it's often we they. Sometimes I will say we, sometimes I will say they. So they structure the project along this line, saying that the source pathway receptor consequence model, and I'm going to explain it, can help us organize risk assessment, that SPRC can help us identify the role that we could play with technology and science in order to reduce vulnerability, but also the SPRC model could be used to structure the decision support system, I mean in terms of computer coding, organizing the work, etc. So what is SPRC? It's something like that. Now, the idea is that you have a source, like the storm surge, and it's putting water on a pathway, and the water is getting on the receptor, and if the receptor is fragile, then, well, you have consequence. It's a very simple conceptual model. It's a way to represent the world. And where do you put climate change in such a thing? Well, you say, climate change will change the probability density function of storm surge. So you have forcing, and then you just move along this model. And to put this in a story, I discovered this model, and I was quite alarmed because I say, hey, first, it's a very linear model. It's a very simple model, and I don't think people experience coastal system in such a simplistic way. And you might do this very well, but I find this worrisome. And this was 4 years ago, and we had a lot of debate on using such a model. But we used it. They used it. This is where I want to be. Yes. And so in the end, we got this thing called the DSS, a decision support system. So it's a computer interface, you click on the community where you see a yellow spot, then you have aerial photographs with layers of maps. In order to enter the data, there's all a data collection process, etc. And then you are able to choose, I'm going to put a seawall, I'm going to put a floodgate, I'm going to move people around, and the maps change along the way. And in the end, you coastal communities should be able, using the DSS, the Theseus DSS, should be able to choose between a seawall, moving people, or doing whatever needs to be done. And the conceptual representation is up there, where you have there in green external forces like climate, then you have waves, then you, anything yellow would be a mitigation option, then you have the coast, the shoreline, et cetera, et cetera. Then you get water onto people, and this is what we got. Okay, now I'm trying to get the story straight here. We're intervening in a place with a huge diversity of people, and we're giving them something that represents quite simplistically their world. And I'm saying we're giving them, we're not necessarily explicit. What we're giving them is a tool that should resolve their problem, but underlying this tool, there's a way to see the world. And the big question we had at that point is, hey, what happened if within that tool, the way the world is represented is not compatible with the way people see things? Will they use it? Will it advise them properly? And so we phrased a series of hypotheses that we then tested in the field. The first hypothesis was saying, okay, beware, representations of coastal risk are diverging, and more precisely, the representation by stakeholders and the population is different from the representation of scientists. And when I say the representation is different, it may mean that they see the world functioning differently, but it also means they may have different moral value system and they may have different material constraint. And I just thought that if I managed to qualify this difference, well, maybe the DSS tool would be better deployed. So first hypothesis is diverging. The second hypothesis is diverging because they have a different material and moral value system. And my third hypothesis, which was a result of exploratory field work, is what part of that divergence was the idea that either the coastal system could be represented as a simple deterministic system, like in the DSS and the SPRC model, or the coastal system could be represented as a complex system with no clearly identified causal chain, but rather boundary condition influencing its future. If this is extremely unclear, you just all raise your arm and I try to clarify things. There's a word in French which is called sieste postprandiale, which is the nap you take after lunch. It's kind of a biological thing, and if you're in the middle of it, I can use it as an excuse. So how did we go along to empirically test this hypothesis? We defined three corpuses. A corpus is a set of textual data in this case. There was a set of interviews with stakeholders. I'm not going to go into detail. A set of scientific project deliverable and a set of interview with scientists. And the idea was to generate as many words coming from stakeholders, as many scientific words picked up in official project deliverable, and as many words as possible coming from the scientific community, and see if with these words, we could see how people were theorizing the world they are moving in. How scientists theorize, how do you say that in English? Someone help me. Theorize. How people theorize the world, stakeholders, how scientists theorize the world. And to do that, we did something that is called iterative grounded theory. I will not go in detail, but you take a very broad conceptual framework, and then you take a corpus, and in the corpus, you see how, using a bottom-up inference approach, you build how people, you develop an understanding on how people theorize the world, and then you compare it to a conceptual framework, and through iteration, you get a picture of the way reality interacts with people and words. But the real interesting thing is always results, but I think the methodology was nice because it was strongly rooted in this diversity of experience we were facing. So what do we have as results? I got a few quotes here. But these quotes are just representative quotes, and it's so For instance, in the stakeholder interviews, we get in terms of relevance. The relevance is, how do you choose a risk? Why would you choose a risk? Why do you choose this risk and you want to address it? Why is this an issue? This is what we quoted as a meta-category as relevance. And there's a phrase there saying it's about ensuring a balance between protection and restoration of waterways. It is about biological productivity. It is about protecting the protection, but it's verbatim translation, so it's a bit awkward, of goods infrastructure. All depends on the will of the population and of the elected officials. And so, basically, this is an example, but if you take all the quotes and you organize them well, what we saw, is that for the stakeholder population, relevance, choosing which risk should be addressed, was a political process, and that it was the product of this political process that would allow them to say this risk is relevant or not. And by political process, they meant the resolution by politicians of the multiple pressure they face. Now, this is interesting because it might not be the product of a rational, which is a bad word, but it might not be the product of a well-thought exercise. Let's say that if you don't need dike, but if your population wants dike, a politician puts dike. And this may be problematic because if you don't need dikes, that the politician put dikes, and then you put houses below the dikes, and then they get overtopped while everyone is drowned. So it's a bit iffy, but that's how they saw things. That's really what they said. They said, hey, this is the real world. There are real pressure in the real world. And if the concrete lobby wants a Vinci gate, well, you put a Vinci gate, you're not going to move people around. And if people want to live by the sea and they put themselves in danger, well, let's see what the political process leads to. So that is one big family of way of seeing the world. Then we went into coding evidence. Evidence is coding what are the causal statements that stakeholders give us, how they see the inner functioning of the world. When I say the world, of course, you understand the very reduced community-level coastal system under threat by climate change. But I say the world because it sounds nicer. So, evidence. People use dikes according to their very narrow interests. Duck hunters often dig holes in dikes. Now, this is an extreme case of a more broader result, is that when we wanted to assess how people would introduce flood into a causal statement, this causal statement would always be something that I can summarize like this. People are not flooded because of storm. People are not flooded because of water. People are not drowned because they can't swim. People are flooded and sometimes drowned because of their behavior, which we often have no clue about what can lead this behavior. And so there's a green quote there saying these actions are totally unbelievable. And the unbelievable there meant also unforeseeable. Who could think when building a dike that a duck hunter would take his shovel, dig a hole in the dike to hide himself in order to hunt the duck, and then leave, and then a storm come, the dike is breached at that place, and it's a catastrophe. And this is not, again, this is... people get flooded because of human behavior. But they didn't say that only. They also said something quite interesting that I could summarize are, beware, in a coastal system, everything is interconnected. You cannot go in there and intervene and believe that you will be able to foresee all the consequences of your action. We are in such a tightly woven and complex system that actually action along causal statement will lead to other things. And one way to illustrate this interconnection is a simple way, is people saying if you rise the level of a quay, it was a harbor, a big industrial harbor that is constantly risen, And the fact is that as more you rise the level of the quay, the more everyone around is flooded. But there are many stories like that. You put a breakwater, people lose sand down the erosion. I don't know the name in English. The sedimentary, the flux sedimentaire, whatever. Yes. People will lose sand because of sedimentary flow that you interrupt. So it's an unpredictable world because of people are basically unpredictable. It's a very interconnected world. Things, when you want to plan them, make no sense at all. And if you go a bit higher, you also get these results where they don't use the word, but I really think that is the word that should be used. They say what will define whether a place is flooded or not is connected to the boundary condition of the system. And by boundary condition, I mean education, political will, the crisis of the day, boundary condition that define the way the system will move, but that is not really connected to specific elements of the system like flood. Last big thing that we heard is about norms, and this is very interesting, is that when we ask them to talk about flood, the biggest number of quotes is about what is good, what is wrong, what is right. It's about normative statement, which basically means that when we talked to these stakeholders about floods, they replied to us by telling us what is important to them. They didn't talk that much about flood. They talk about flood, but we were there to get them to talk about flood. And they say basically flood is a question of redistributive justice. When you protect someone, you expose someone else. If you protect someone with the public purse, using funds from the public purse, well, you penalize other in order to protect a minority. And they would say this is correct. But you need always to think in terms of distributional justice. And that came as something unexpected. Maybe some of you are used to it, but for us, working with engineers, it was not that obvious that this would be their main concern. And so also, this is not, I don't have a quote there in this presentation, but they would often say that when you look at redistributive justice, there's the flood that redistribute wealth, there's the risk that redistribute wealth, but also they imagine action to mitigate risk, and then they're gonna judge the risk on the basis of the action they imagine, the dike, the floodplain, whatever they think about, and they're gonna assess the risk according to what they imagine someone wants to do, which is quite convoluted to access, but we had enough text. Okay, this is for the corpus interview with stakeholders. Now, the interview with stakeholders corpus, but that is quite obvious, was there to capture stakeholders' experience, heuristics of floods. The second corpus was the scientific report, and again, we went along the same line, relevance, evidence, and norms. And in the scientific report from the project, what we wanted to capture is the heuristic of the scientist embedded in a project. It's not the same thing than the life story of a scientist. When you're in a project, you have to give deliverables, do stuff that are quite co-regulated. And so in the scientific report, how did they see whether a risk was important or not? How did they assess relevance? And there we found, but it's normal in such a corpus, well, economists would say we need to tackle things that are costly. Ecologists would tell us we need to protect biodiversity. And engineers talked a lot about potential life loss. We're here to save life. And engineers is a broad category. There are dike builders, but there are also programmer of evacuation protocols and things like that. Okay, so it's not exactly the same way to assess relevance than what we had before. complex political process, and there, what I would call rationality between quote mark. In terms of evidence, the way the world works, well, because we were in the project, everyone was talking about the source pathway consequence model, a very linear model. Water is coming, it's getting this way, it's getting in a place, and there are consequences. And when you wanted to think about the uncertain nature of that, they would say, oh yes, but we know the evolution of probability density function for extreme event. But it was not dominant in the corpus. Sometimes there would be a paragraph added saying, we know that this is not very realistic as a depiction of the world, but we need to do that because we are pragmatic. And so it was, but not often. Most of the time, the world became a very linear world in that context. If you compare that to the preceding corpus, you see that there is a tension there. Interconnection, complexity, boundary condition, and here, a simple linear causal statement. Now, in terms of norms, well, of course, this is scientific material, so it's totally ordinary and normal. The idea is always the values associated with science as a professional practice. We need to have robust results. We need to have a methodology that is in coherence with what we've been doing. And it's the Kuhnian normal science practice. We have a literature, and then we make progress of knowledge, and then we give this knowledge to whoever needs it, and that's it. The second normative statement that we found is some sort of pragmatic deviance. They would say, and sometimes we don't do this perfectly well because we need to be pragmatic. We need results. We need to feed the political process. And so sometimes we cut the corner. But okay, but not at. They're not talking a lot about redistributive justice. If this was a summary of representations of the coastal risk system, we see that this is, I mean, they are the textual content that is building the machine that's going to help the people is talking a totally different language about the coastal system. It's another coastal system. I hope this is clear. So the third corpus is put that a bit in perspective because we had interview with scientists, and there, nicely enough, most scientists would very quickly say, we know the world is interconnected and complex, but we cannot do anything, intervene as scientists on it. So we simplify it, and then we let it deploy in society. So this tension was very much captured by the vulnerability resilience debate that I will not go deep into here. But the basic idea is that if the world is deterministic with simple causal statement, then you can reduce, in a risk situation, you can reduce vulnerability by intervening on the causal chain that you have identified. But if the world is an intertwined complex system, non-deterministic, then you have to work on the boundary condition, and this is where you invoke a resilience paradigm. And clearly, they were doing vulnerability by default. They were conscious of the fact that what we found in the text was a bit iffy. And then in terms of norms, I have this very nice quote when we went with why and how do you justify your activity and how do you move along with this activity, we got this kind of thing like, oh, well, we use it because it is useful. Sorry, but that's the answer. And not very rich. But nevertheless, I think they were saying what they really felt. So if I go back to my three hypotheses, representation of coastal risk are diverging, more precisely, patati patata. Yes, I really think that, of course, you could say, well, this is obvious, but we've managed to qualify it, this divergence. And we managed to qualify it because the material and the moral value systems are different, but they are not incompatible. You can produce robust science in a world that thinks redistributive justice is important. So it's just different. It's not conflictual. But when you look in paradigmatic tensions, this is more complicated because you cannot really easily sell to people that feel that the world is complex and poorly deterministic a system that turns it into a deterministic world in order to choose investment for the future. There is something there that is quite orthogonal. But what we saw, and this was not in the quote, is that also one could say that there are bridges to be built. We need to be explicit about the fact that we know that we're not dealing with a deterministic system, but that some pieces of it may be treated as deterministic. And that we may want to work simultaneously on boundary condition. I don't have much time left. We may want to work on boundary condition and on causal change. Okay, so qualifying, exploring the hypothesis, and then some key elements that I want to stress. Well, not the same understanding of the way the world functions inside what fed the DSS and the DSS in the end, and the way people using the DSS see the world and want to do it. And there is something also is that often stakeholders are interested in consequence, scientists are interested in something else along the SPRC thing. Chantal, will you tell me when I have... And then making stakes explicit so that people can reveal their value because they're not conflicting, they're complementary, and then so they should move along. And so we devised a communication scheme, and I'm going to be very quick, and then the next slide is called conclusion. Well, the idea is that if we do build a DSS, and there's no way I'm going to explain this briefly, is that we should, what I call the cognitive pathway, but I'm not sure this is the right word, but we should always provide a space for both the DSS builder, calibrator, the scientist, and the DSS user to constantly be able to deliberate on why is it important, why is it that matter, what does really matter, and how this way of seeing the world may be coherent or not with the way each one of us experience the world. So this is our those little arrows. So we were stuck with the SPRC DSS, but we felt that we could use it as a safe deliberative space so that it gets built in a way that is coherent with local characteristics. And I hope the connection is somehow clear, concluding element. So when we get back to our initial goal of socializing the DSS, well, what we said is that risk communication, now we know that it's a dialogical learning experience. It cannot be just experts talking to a layperson. It has to be some sort of very rich exchange. And what we wanted to say is that the DSS can be used for that. We've specified the difference in moral, material constraints, and paradigmatic tension. And we feel that the DSS would be an opportunity for sustaining mutual learning in a way that allow to socialize things. So what do we need to do now? We need to test that in other setting with DSS structured along different conceptual models. We have very little DSS that are using a complex system thing, but we do have some. We should have some real time experience in the implementation of this communication scheme that we are proposing, but no time for that right now. And we need to combine what we propose with the DSS with other experiences that are quite similar, which are visualization technique, joint scenario development, model co-construction, etc. Thank you very much. This project benefited from the support of the European Commission. Thank you.